And good morning. Welcome to Community Voice. I am your host, Josh Engel. Today's June 27th, Thursday. Thank goodness for that rain. It's getting pretty hot. I don't know if you guys saw 100 degrees on the dial yesterday, but it was pretty intense. I'm very glad to get a little rain yesterday, and I'm very glad to have some of our favorite guests in the studio. We got Tanner Health System. We always love to have Tanner Health System in the show. Today's program is going to be live streamed on our WLBB Facebook page. So if you have any questions or comments, feel free to hop in the chat. Is it also live stream on Tanner? Okay, perfect. Yeah, it is also going to be live streamed. We got mics here. We got some additional cameras. So you got your options, right? So feel free to throw in any questions or comments for our guests on either of those streams. And then we'll read those out to our illustrious guests. Those guests today, it is Dr. Lindsay Baskin Ronick. Dr. Ronick has an extensive, I love that word, extensive, an esteemed background in the medical field. She graduated from Emory University of Medicine in 2003 before her advancing her training at the University of Alabama at Birmingham. She completed her internal medicine residency, and she also served as chief resident. She continued her specialization with pulmonary critical care, serving as chief fellow. And since 2010, Dr. Ronick has been a dedicated physician at West Georgia Lung and Sleep Medicine, offering expert care and consultation in pulmonary and sleep medicine. We also have April Barrow. Barrow? I said that. Okay, it would be bad if I messed your name up. April Barrow, registered respiratory therapist and Tanner's pulmonary rehab coordinator. April has been a respiratory therapist for 23 years. Prior to working at Tanner Health, she worked for 8 years at Floyd Medical's pulmonary rehab, and then worked in COPD education and decannulations. Is that right?
Trach decannulations.
All right. You got to pronounce it all fancy. She now serves as Tanner's pulmonary rehab coordinator and still works part-time as needed, providing direct patient care in the hospital. Today, we're going to talk about, I think the plan is we're going to educate the community about the new pulmonary rehab program at Tanner Health. It's going to be a great conversation. So good morning, April and Lindsay.
Good morning.
Thank you both for waking up bright and early and joining us on the program. So let's jump right into it. If I read your guys' bona fides, but if you could take us each, let's start with Lindsay. Take us through what a day in your field looks like.
Ooh, okay. A day in pulmonary medicine. I start my hospital rounds usually between 7:15 and 7:30, see our inpatients, which is commonly COPD patients. And then by 8 o'clock, I'm in the office and in the office till usually 5 p.m. and then might circle back to the hospital to see new consults. But we're pretty busy these days.
Well, what are some of the primary focuses of your particular position?
So probably 2/3 of what we take care of is COPD, so smoking-related lung disease. We see a fair amount of asthma. Then we also do sleep medicine, so we do a lot of obstructive sleep apnea.
I'm not the smartest guy. What does COPD mean?
COPD stands for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. So 20-something years ago when I was in medical school, we used the terms emphysema and chronic bronchitis to refer to the kind of breathing problems people got from smoking. And the emphysema patients were more short of breath. The chronic bronchitis patients tend to cough and wheeze a lot. And somebody 20 years ago decided, you know, it's all related to smoking. So let's call it chronic obstructive pulmonary disease and relabeled it all. And I think we might have just confused everyone and made them think there's another disease process, but it's all smoking related lung disease.
Well, it does make it, I think it more accurately describes what's going on, because if I hear like acute bronchitis or ongoing, whatever, you know, chronic bronchitis, that doesn't sound too bad. It sounds frustrating, but COPD really puts in perspective like, oh no, this is something you want good care for. This is something you want to address. Right. You know, we see people with oxygen tanks and whatnot. A lot of times that does stem back to years of smoking now.
Correct.
I can't believe the tobacco companies lied to us in the 60s. This is crazy.
I know, right? It was just to control your weight.
I can't believe this. Yeah. Yeah. The diet cigarette. Yeah. Like they always had angles, yeah. You know. April, tell us a bit about your position at Tanner.
I work at the pulmonary rehab. In the mornings, I get there, try to get my paperwork ready for my first patient. Usually comes at 8. I have patients coming. Usually I have like 2 to 4 patients in a group. They come about every hour and a half. My patients come. What we do is they come in, they practice some breathing exercises, and then I have a routine that each patient does. They're different. Each patient does a different routine, and we do breathing exercises, strengthening exercises, and then they go on different workout machines. And we also do education at least one time a week when they come in. And then at the end of the day, I just finish up my paperwork.
Excellent. Right on. Well, we have no better folks to talk with us about the pulmonary rehab program that we're blessed to have here at Tanner Health System. It's great to have Tanner guests on because often we learn that here at our own local community health system, we have treatment options which are not available in most parts of the world. We spoke with an oncologist recently, Dr. Doplay, and he just really illuminated some of the procedures and treatment options that we have available in oncology that is not something you find everywhere. And I think this is something that's really special here. Let's talk about the pulmonary rehab some. So could you tell us about the new pulmonary rehab program at Tanner Health System, and what components are included in pulmonary rehab, and who is this built for, this program?
You want to take it?
Either can take it, yeah.
Right now we're seeing like patients with COPD, chronic bronchitis, like bronchiectasis, pulmonary fibrosis patients, and then patients that are needing a lung transplant. Patients who are just very deconditioned that just can't walk. They can't do activities that they normally used to do. Those are the patients usually that come in that they want to feel better. They want to be able to like work in their yard. They want to be able to even just get dressed. A lot of your COPD patients have trouble just getting up in the mornings and getting dressed. Like it comes easy to all of us, but they have trouble doing that. They just want to have like a better quality of life. So those are like mainly your patients you have and their goals of what they want to do.
Like they're just wanting things to go as normal as possible day-to-day life. But yes. It's so hard when you're in a constant state of oxygen deprivation, right? I mean, that's tough. So this program, it's pretty all-encompassing. There are a lot of moving steps and a lot of moving pieces. So can we talk a bit about this study? I see that Tanner is a part of a large national study that led to the starting of the pulmonary rehab program. Could you tell us a bit more about this study and its objectives?
Sure. So there's a big push nationally from Medicare and other insurers to try to keep our COPD patients healthier and keep them out of the hospital. And so Tanner's been looking at different ways to try to improve our COPD care. And as part of that, we were selected to be enrolled in a nationwide study. I think there's 34 hospitals that are in it. Some are big, large academic institutions, small community institutions. There's VA hospitals in it. There's some in big cities, country hospitals. So it's really a diverse group. And it's a really neat study. It's based from the University of Chicago, and they gave us a list of 15 to 20 measures to pick from that what do we think would help our health system. And then they helped us design a program. So we took data for 2 years before implementing these programs, and then now we're collecting for 5 years after implementation. And it's a really unique opportunity for a health system our size to be able to be in a big study like this. And so we picked COPD education. So when our patients are in the hospital for a COPD flare-up or pneumonia, they get targeted education on how to manage COPD and how to make sure they're using their inhalers properly, because that's a big piece of this. And then we also are doing medication reconciliation, meaning making sure they go home on the proper inhalers and things don't get messed up from hospital admission to discharge. And then our kind of reach goal, if you will, was to try to get pulmonary rehab started. And thankfully, Tanner was remarkably supportive and got behind us. And it took us probably 18 months, but we have gotten this program up and running. And so that's the thing we're most excited about with this study, because pulmonary rehab, like April mentioned, is great at helping with shortness of breath and improving activities of daily living tolerance. But we also know it reduces hospitalizations for a year after completion. It reduces mortality, actually, for a year after completion of pulmonary rehab, too.
So Dad is already speaking to that mm-hmm. it's already lowering the chances of having to be hospitalized.
Exactly.
If something. Wow. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, there's a lot to talk about, so why don't we go ahead and get our first break out of the way. Time is 8:40. We're going to take our first commercial break, but when we come back, we will continue our conversation with Dr. Lindsay Baskin-Ronick and April Barrow. I'll keep wanting to say Barrow. I don't know why. April Barrow. Yours. I like how your name is the one I'm having trouble with, and hers is the one that's spelled April Barrow, RRT, with Tanner's Pulmonary Rehab Coordinators. We chat more about the Pulmonary Rehab Program at Tanner Health System, so stay with us.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
The Customized Academic Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is individually designed to provide students with a personalized, clearly defined academic track that earns the student a series of distinctions upon graduation. This journey enables academically driven students to pursue a focused, rigorous course of study personalized to their wants and desires. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
And we're back to Community Voice. Welcome back. We are live streaming this morning's program with Tanner Health System as we chat about the new pulmonary rehab program at Tanner Health. We are live streaming this show on our WLBB Facebook page, as well as the Tanner Health System Facebook page. So you have two options here to tune into the show today. I really like this. And you can, if you have any questions or comments, feel free to throw them in those chats, and I'd be happy to read those out to you. Read those out to our guests, Dr. Lindsay Baskin-Ronick and April Barrow, RRT. You started laughing. I didn't even say it. If you tune into the whole program, which you should, you'll see that I for some reason, I keep botching April Barrow, Barrow's name. I'm just a big Downton Abbey fan. So when I hear Mr. Barrow, like that's I'm going to Downton Abbey. I'm going to throw that accent on there. But she's a RRT, respiratory therapist, registered respiratory therapist with Tanner Health System. And we've been jumping in, talking about the pulmonary rehab program. We just chatted a bit about the long-form study, a national study, which Tanner has been participating in and is continuing to participate in to track the impact of this pulmonary rehab program on their patients. So definitely go back and check all that out. All right. Well, let's talk about COPD prevalence and causes. How prevalent is chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD, and why is it such a significant health concern?
So COPD prevalence is rising. I think the most recent numbers I've looked at show that it's about 6.5% of the U.S. population. So close to 20 million people at this point. So
20 million?
Yeah.
Whoa.
And interestingly, COPD is now the second leading cause of death in the U.S. behind cancer. It's actually surpassed heart disease because our heart disease management has gotten really, really good. Wow. But it's you know, there's no cure for COPD. We don't have any way to reverse the damage. So the trick, of course, is focusing on either never smoking or stopping smoking if you are smoking.
Now, what about folks that are listening that are going, man, I'm glad I gave up smoking. And now I just hit my vape. You know, and they got the little vapes, right. The little vapors. What do you think about those? Like, has there been any data collected that speaks to the chances of developing something like COPD if you use one of those little Kato bars or something, little Juuls?
There's not yet because they haven't been around very long, right? So we just haven't had them enough to have any long-term safety data. I know people who are proponents of them say maybe there's less chemicals than there are in cigarettes. I always tell my patients, we don't know. Kind of jokingly, I say, you may grow a third eye later. There's no long-term safety data. We don't know, right? So I don't love them because of that. We do have some short-term data, and they have looked at if you inhale a cigarette versus inhale a vape, all of the changes in airflow in your lungs are the same.
I see.
So it definitely has an immediate impact on closing those bronchial tubes and impacting your breathing. I just don't know about long-term safety.
Sure. So this is something you want to keep an eye on, listeners, in the next 10, 20 years. Keep an eye on data as it comes in. And hopefully in that time, you won't be vaping the whole time. I don't know. Hopefully. Right. Hopefully not. So cigarettes, clearly a major part of cultures all across the world. And, you know, this is someone's finally showed up to pay the check. And here we are. It's the number two cause of death in the country. So, all right, the primary causes of COPD, we established that'd be smoking. Are there other factors like exposure to chemicals and stuff like that in warehouses or whatnot, you know, if they're if hazmat or something? And are there any genetic factors involved in developing COPD?
So there are other causes. In the U.S., in developed countries, it's almost uniformly cigarettes, the vast, vast majority. Welding without appropriate protective gear actually is a pretty major risk factor for COPD. Internationally, in less developed countries, it's more exposure to indoor cooking fumes and people who cook over open wood burning stoves and things like this. But in developed countries, it's cigarette smoking.
So being around burning wood can if you're always doing that, that can start impacting.
Particularly indoor kind of cooking like people would do in less developed countries.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, so I didn't even think about that. So that's all right. That's one of the possible causes there. Now, so as far as genetic factors, I'm actually glad to hear heart disease is number three, because I'm on a fast track to heart disease with my family, both sides. I'm always trying to work on that and take medicine and whatnot. But I know that's something that I'm predisposed towards because of my family. Are there any genetic factors as far as COPD is concerned?
There are probably a lot, but there's only one identified gene for COPD, something called alpha-1 antitrypsin, which is a protein that's in your lungs that just cleans up kind of inflammation and trash, if you will. And if you don't have functioning alpha-1 antitrypsin, then you're way more likely to develop COPD and cirrhosis. And we can test for that, and we routinely test all of our new patients for it. But that's the only identified genetic factor. I think we all know there have to be others, because I'll see patients who smoked for 50 years and have no lung problems, and then I'll see people who smoked for 20 years and have bad COPD, and it doesn't always make sense. So there have to be other genetic factors we just haven't identified.
We are uncovering some truths here, because, yeah, you know, I've always heard, you know, I used to smoke cigarettes, and I don't anymore, thankfully, not for a very long time. But when I did, I remember a lot of my friends, people would come up and say something, and my friends would be like, yeah, well, what about George Burns? You know, he was smoking cigars until he was like 100, you know, and then meanwhile, this guy over here is secondhand smoke from a coworker, and now he's got COPD or cancer. I think that this would probably speak a lot to that, right? I mean, the fact that some folks just don't have that gene. Which, the real cool name for it again?
So, that alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency.
There it is. All right. Mm-hmm. So is that something you can get tested for now, like without even before you develop these symptoms? Hey, can I check this out? I'm a welder, you know, and I heard this show and I threw my helmet up when I heard you guys talking about this. So they could come out and possibly do that.
Yes, it's a simple blood test.
All right. Good information. All right. Folks know that. So, all right. Why is there a need for a rehabilitation program like this, you know, one beyond traditional medication treatments? I know that, you know, I was aware of inhalers and oxygen tanks and stuff like that, but, you know, I've never really heard about a rehabilitation program for something like this.
Well, with the rehabilitation program, like I said earlier, we do a lot of different stuff. I have more one-on-one time with the patients to, like, go over, like, how to use your inhaler. Different things they can do at home, like with their activities of daily living, like little things they can change to make life easy at home. Also, like any kind of like exercise, resistant band exercises help, arm weights, any kind of like riding a bicycle, treadmill, anything like that increases your endurance. So therefore, it's going to make their lung issues a little bit more less, be able to walk further and stuff like that.
And there's no way to, like, I'm really showing my ignorance here. There's no way to, like, clean out a lung, is there? Like, to have one lung operating and then the other one be, like, flushed with some sort of cleanser? Like, is that a thing that people do?
So there is something called a bronchoscopy that we can do when people have pneumonia or a lung cancer. We need to go in and look, but you can't flush out COPD because it's more of damage to the existing structures. So either the emphysema people kind of get those Swiss cheese holes in the lung tissue that make it hard for them to breathe. The chronic bronchitis people get more damage to the bronchial tubes, but you can't undo it once it's done.
I'm starting to think that maybe we should do like other countries where they put pictures of like toxic lungs on the side of cigarettes. Like, yeah, you can buy cigarettes, but look what your lungs will look like. You know what I mean? Like I feel like that was probably, I mean, this is what you guys have to see and deal with, right? I mean, these lungs, they have pretty bad reactions to all this. So it's more in the tissue. It's not like it's something that can just be cleaned out.
I mean, you could suck phlegm out, I suppose, with a camera, but your lungs would just make more in the next few hours.
Wow. Okay, time is 8:50. Show's running right by. So we're going to go ahead and take our second commercial break. We got a comment. We got a first comment on the program. Carolyn Camp, are you ready for this? She is a great doctor. Talking about you. Have fun. Carolyn, thank you so much for that. I love the kudos. I always say, give us questions, comments, or kudos to the guests we have on the show. Thank you, Mrs. Camp, for that comment. Yeah, we're going to go take our second commercial break. But when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with April Barrow and Lindsay Baskin-Ronick, a doctor with Tanner Health System. And April is a RRT, registered respiratory therapist, as we chat more about the pulmonary rehab program at Tanner Health. A Tanner Community Voice brought to you by Oak Mountain Academy and Tanner Health System.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
The World Language Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined, curriculum-based track to acquire essential knowledge and skills for success in biliteracy fields of study. The successful completion of this journey provides colleges with a method to recognize a rigorous foreign language immersion experience for all students at Oak Mountain Academy. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
And we're back to Community Voice. I'm your host, Josh Engel, and we're talking with Tanner Health System today. We have two excellent individuals that have been giving us tons of information, Dr. Lindsay Baskin-Ronick and April Barrow, registered respiratory therapist. Both of these individuals work with the pulmonary rehab program at Tanner Health, and this show has been packed with good information. If you're just tuning in, go back to check out the podcast, or you can go back to check out the live stream on that we're currently having on our WLBB Facebook page, or you can go to Tanner Health System's page and you can check out their live streams. You can even get some behind the scenes, you know, but during the breaks, you can hear us talking about how fun this is and how great the show is. So this is solid information. Before we jump into our next question, I would like to ask how long has this program actually been running, this pulmonary rehabilitation, and how many patients have been served so far?
It's been running since we opened up in October. I don't know exactly the number total we've seen, but I usually see right now, I think I'm like 16 patients a day. I've had more than that, but I can't remember like the whole total.
Sure.
But I've had a good many graduate. We also are opening up a phase 3 program. It starts actually July 1st. It's for my patients because insurance usually pays for like 36 sessions for a whole year, but they first get 16 sessions. And then sometimes they'll get an order for more sessions. And then after they do those total of the 36 sessions, then they can do a phase 3. What that is where they can come, it's like a gym membership. They can come work out. They'll be on their own, but I'll still be there if they need me. And like the phase 2 program, when they first come, I'm beside them the whole way. Like from the time they walk in the door to the time they leave, like I'm don't really leave their side. I'm guiding them. Like we have the different workout machines, but each patient is put on a machine that they feel comfortable with. They're not just thrown on a treadmill and never walked on a treadmill or a bicycle. Like there is a machine for each patient.
Attentive and one-on-one guidance. You know, you're there to help make sure they don't overextend themselves, to make sure they're comfortable, and to make sure the rehabilitation program goes smoothly as they're working on recovery.
Yes, and we talk a lot pursed-lip breathing to help them, because a lot of times COPD patients, when they get short of breath, they're just trying to like inhale, just trying to get air in. So the more that they try to inhale through their mouth and stuff like that, they become more short of breath. So we focus a lot on pursed-lip breathing to make breathing a little bit easier for them too.
Excellent. That's great information. And I think a peace of mind for listeners that are, you know, thinking maybe they or someone in their family might need to look into this program. You know, it's nice to know that they're not just kind of thrown out there. You know, you're a professional. You stay with them, make sure that they they follow everything correctly and don't, you know, get over their head, get on the wrong machine or something. Not just throwing them a stretch band or whatever.
April is amazing at holding their hand through every step of it, even if it's, so the pulmonary rehab is based in the Tanner Health Pavilion on Dixie Street. Oh, and yeah. So she will meet them at the door, because a lot of our patients don't feel like they can walk all the way to rehab, which is upstairs on the second floor. So yeah. She will meet them, get them there. Everybody that finishes this program comes back to me, and the first thing they lead with was how amazing April was, and how, I don't know, she's been called a saint, an angel. She's been called everything.
She's been holding my hand through this interview, yes. So I'd imagine, yeah.
She makes it really fun, and people feel intimidated about doing exercises and things like that, but it's not like that when you get up there and somebody's helping you. And April does fun things like made it an Easter egg hunt right before Easter week so that they would have to find Easter eggs and figure out what their exercises were, and just neat things to keep it fun every day.
Excellent. Well, we only have about 4 minutes left, so two last questions here. As far as enhancing the quality of life, I mean, you know, we talked a bit about the exercises that are in the program. It helps their patients' physical abilities. But you know, as far as quality of life, what kind of symptoms can they help reduce through this program?
Well, pulmonary rehab is proven to decrease shortness of breath with activity. It is actually proven to improve quality of life. And I think there's been a different goal for every patient. I had a patient who couldn't climb a flight of stairs, and now he can. Mm-hmm. I had one patient who changing the sheets on her bed was an hour's plus long activity because she was so short of breath. Now she can do it without resting. We had one patient who desperately wanted to be able to walk to his hunting blind instead of ride his gator. Now he can do it. So lots of individualized goals that she helps them achieve.
Absolutely. I'm just, Matt, now I'm imagining April and a gator picking up people in the parking lot. Like, let's go. Like, hop on in. All right. We do have one last comment here. What does it mean to graduate from the program, and how long does a patient participate?
So a typical pulmonary rehab program is twice a week for 8 weeks. And a lot of people, a significant portion of people finish at that point in time. If we feel like a patient was really making good progress and had a lot more ground to gain, then April will ask me if I can refer them for further sessions. But either typically after 8 weeks, they graduate. Sometimes we extend it.
Sure. And as far as extension, I mean, how long can that go up to sometimes?
Medicare really bad and most of the other insurers will pay for a maximum of 36 visits.
Okay. All right. So thank you for that. Thank you very much. Of course, their last name, I'm going to mess it up. Hannah Kion. I'm probably saying that wrong. Thank you for that comment. We're glad to have that. I don't put me in the names today. We're almost out of time. We have about a minute and a half left. If we could, please give us any final words, and where can folks learn more about this information?
I have one other thing. I had a patient, and I was very excited about this, too. He hadn't been in church in over a year, and he actually was able to go with his wife on Easter. He also, the day he finished his last session a couple weeks ago, they hadn't been out to eat. I think he said like over a year and a half. And that day he graduated, he actually took her out to eat.
Hey, that's great. Yeah.
And so I was so excited. He was excited. She was excited. Like, it was a good.
Won't he do it, though? How about it?
Yeah.
So got to have a typical, the perfect Southern Sunday. You go to church, take your lady out to eat. That's exactly. Great. Well, thank you for that information. I think that's great. It brings a lot of peace of mind to listeners. Mm-hmm. So we have about 30 seconds. So if you can, tell us where can folks learn more?
So you can learn more at tanner.org/pulmonary rehab. And you can also speak to either your pulmonologist or your primary care doctor, who can send in the referrals for you to start pulmonary rehab.
Excellent. Awesome. Well, Dr. Lindsay Baskin-Ronick, and RRT with Tanner's Pulmonary Rehab Program, April Barrow, thank you for joining us, and thank you all for tuning in. We'll see you next time.